Steve, thanks. Still left, and it's Wendy Snyder. On the line with us right now, our usual Friday guest, Alexander Zeldin, the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like television and entertainment. Hi, Alexander. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
On the show yesterday, we talked quite a bit about the revival of All in the Family and The Jeffersons that aired on ABC a couple of nights ago. What was your take on it? What did you think of that?
Well, I've only seen some clips of it. The general feeling around The Office that folks were talking about was that it was good. There were good performances. We'd love to see a riff on it, you know, something a little bit different done with it, a little bit more of an updating. It was very faithful, which was interesting to watch. But it would be curious to see these actors do a more modern take on the revival.
You know, at first when I was watching it, the first 8 to 10 minutes, I felt exactly that. I wish they had updated the script. It was written 45 years ago. It doesn't hold up. But then as I watched the rest of it, I really came to enjoy it, and I was thrilled that they didn't change it. I know that's contrary to a lot of people's thoughts were, but I liked it. It would be like seeing something in a museum that was created, you know, a long time ago. You don't want them to change it and update it. You want to see how it was originally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the thing that I liked about it, and I really, even more than the actual execution, like the idea of it, is treating it like a play, which these were even more so than current three-camera sitcoms, where you're doing it in front of an audience, you're doing a revival. It's okay if a play travels around and has a different cast each time. The material still lasts.
Right.
So we've seen that happen a little bit more with movies, where you'll have staged all-star readings of the movies. Not staged, I guess, just readings of the movies with an all-star cast. It's great that they're doing that with TV as well, because those scripts feel like they're preserved in time. So why not bring them back out? Why not show why Norman Lear and everybody else were amazing writers?
This did very well in the ratings. Does this mean everybody's looking through other old shows saying, hey, bring Flipper back. People want to see Flipper. What are we going to see next, do you think?
Yeah, we're going to see Flipper live. Woody Harrelson is going to do Flipper as well. He's going to be in everything from now on. I'll tell you, there was a really interesting note during Fox's upfront presentation. They had a call for press and for advertisers and media beforehand, and they very casually mentioned on the side, which I didn't see a lot of people pick up on, they were asked about their schedule, not this summer, but the summer afterwards, and they said, yeah, we're looking at things like live comedy events. Now, this was before this thing was broadcast this past week, and my suspicion about it is that as live musicals have trended downwards in the ratings, everybody's looking for that next live event that they can do, that they can roll out, will get everybody talking, tweeting, buzzed on the same night. And since this did do well, I think we're going to see a lot of clones on it, a lot of different networks going forward.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
I've been telling Bill, I think you brought up to us The Act with Patricia Arquette. I watched it. I binged it. I couldn't stop watching it. I was horrified. I was entertained. It's really great.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't checked it out, it's about Gypsy Rose Lee Blanchard. This is a real-life case. She was essentially gaslit and almost imprisoned by her mother for years, eventually worked out a plot to kill her, and nobody comes out well at it. One of our writers, Kayla Cobb, has done an excellent job writing about the show on Decider. You check out all of her research and all of her writing. She compared the true story to what actually happened on screen. This was a huge hit for Hulu. I think their biggest show of all time, even bigger than Handmaid's Tale, which has been transformative in the culture. And as far as we've heard, they're actually going to be doing another one, which is interesting. They're going to focus different characters, different case, but take the same sort of look at it and really delving into the psyches of what went on when you're going through as big of a con job as these two characters did.
And this is on Hulu, you're saying,
yeah,
right? Okay.
So they will take another story and dramatize that? All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's very unclear exactly how they're going to do it, because, of course, Gypsy Rose Lee's story and their mother's story in particular are over. They're done, you know. Gypsy
and
Rose,
they were so out there. I mean, God.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to match it, honestly, in a second season, but certainly there are a lot of scammers that have been out there and a lot of crazy cases that happen. So if they do want to go forward through with it, and I'm sure Hulu does, they'll figure out a way to make a second season.
Maybe, Alex, an approach like they do on HBO with True Detective, where it's kind of the same theme, but it's a different idea, a different cast, maybe?
A lot of folks are going for that now, where they're making it more of an anthology. I don't know if you're watching Chernobyl on HBO right now.
No, I wanted to ask you about that. Everybody's raving about this.
This is one, again, not to keep shouting out Kayla, but she does an amazing job on these true crime and true life stories. She's been doing some incredible coverage of Chernobyl. It's a dramatization of the events of Chernobyl, but the interesting thing that they're doing is as they release the series and as they dramatize events of the series, the producer and the writer are doing a podcast, which you can subscribe to anywhere, called the Chernobyl Podcast, where they talk about the process of creating the script, and they say, okay, here's how we veered away from it. This is why we dramatized it this way versus how it actually happened in real life. And for the most part, it's very harrowing to watch. It's very awful to watch. It's gritty. It's not fun at all. You're not going to be like, ooh, what's going to happen next up at Chernobyl or anything like that. But it's a beautifully done show with a real life basis. And Kayla talked to the creator of the show, and he said the same sort of thing, that if they do a second season, it's not going to be Chernobyl 2. They'll focus on another disaster with maybe some of the same elements of the cast, but go that anthology route.
And that's is that Robin Harris from Mad Men? Is he the star of that or one of the stars?
All the creepiest actors in Hollywood are all on Chernobyl. So if you want to get creeped out, definitely check that out today.
Speaking of creeping out, The Perfection on Netflix starts today or tomorrow? Today, I think, right?
Yeah, this is a new film on Netflix, drops today. It stars Allison Williams from Get Out and Logan Browning from Dear White People. It's not great, according to reviewer Adam Etta, but it is very gory. And if you're looking for kind of a gross horror movie, it's quick. You know, it's not over 2 hours or anything like that. And it might be a gross, fun one to watch late at night over the weekend.
I like her a lot. I like I've only seen her in a few things, but everything I've seen her in so far, I really like her in.
There is, in the middle, without spoiling anything, there's about a 15 to 20 minute sequence, which is just Allison Williams and Logan Browning in a van together, which is very, very harrowing. And again, Anna, our reviewer, said, if you are going to check out the movie, it's worth checking out just for the sequence.
We've got Alexander Zalbin with us, the managing editor of Decider.com. We're going to take a quick break. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I think your trousers are too tight. Alexander Zalbin's here, the managing editor of Decider.com. We're talking television again. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. We'll get to some of your questions next. But first, a documentary about Game of Thrones. I remember when Game of Thrones used to be on, Alex.
Oh, man. It's really great to revisit that show after everybody was so happy about the finale.
Yes.
It's been enough time. We talked about it. We're past it. It's all good. But there is HBO is not letting the Game of Thrones thing go anytime soon. There are going to be some prequels and sequels and we don't know what down the road. But if you accidentally think there's one more episode of Game of Thrones, good news, there kind of is. This Sunday at 9 p.m., it's a two-hour documentary called Game of Thrones, The Last Watch. And there's been a lot of documentary series material that they put out over the course of the season, but this looks like this has some new bits. It's going to be about the making of the final season, as well as shout-outs to the fans, and they're promising some very emotional goodbyes to the characters and the actors. So even if you were mixed about the last couple of episodes, such as I was and several other viewers were as well, this might be something worth checking out.
How about this, Alex? You get Charlize Theron and her family, and you just call it Game of Thrones. Would people watch that, do you think? I think they would.
100%. Yeah. I mean, people are misspelling it all the time anyway, so I'm sure it would just come up in searches, and it would do great.
Here's an idea that I love. This, listen to this. Historical Roasts. This is on Netflix. Explain what's going on with this show, Historical Roasts. I think this is great.
I got to tell you, I'm not the hugest fan of roast, but I'm actually very excited for this series. It debuts Monday, Memorial Day, so you should have plenty of time to watch it. Jeff Ross, who's the roast master general of the world, has rounded up a bunch of comedians and actors and famous people, just like you would for any roast, except they're actually roasting historical figures, and everybody is dressed in historical garb. So, for example, there's an episode where they roast Abraham Lincoln. There's one where they roast Freddie Mercury. Other historical characters like that. I have no idea what's going to happen, but it sounds really interesting and goofy and fun and might get around the whole uncomfortableness of making fun of a real person to their face.
I think this is brilliant.
It does sound really good. I was talking to Bill about this off the air. You had mentioned the Tim Robinson, I think you should leave. I gave it a shot. My son Michael is 20. He loves it. I watched every episode. I don't know how I feel, and my son claims it's an age thing. I said, are you saying I'm too old? And he goes, no, but it might be more of a young guy thing. I wanted to like it. It's kind of over the top. I've watched them all. If it comes back, I'll watch it again. But I'm just, what do you think about that?
Well, it's sort of cringe humor a little bit, right? It's certainly about making people uncomfortable. So if that's not your thing, you're not going to like it. And in general, humor is subjective. I never really get to it to everything needs to be unequivocally funny for everybody across the board, because different things strike people funny in different ways. So I know there's a lot of people who are huge fans of the show. They like writing. They like the cameos about it. Definitely when you're talking about sketch comedy, you can break it down to, okay, I like this sketch, but I didn't like this sketch. But if you didn't like it, that's fine. I don't think it's necessarily an age thing. It may just be a sense of humor thing. And you can tell your son I said that.
All right.
I think it's so funny, but it's a show that as funny as I thought it was, I have a hard time recommending it to other people, because I know that a lot of people are going to go, you thought that was funny? But I do. I think it's really funny.
It's kind of funny. It's just very bizarre, and it's very unique. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
We have a question from here. Is Fargo coming back?
Yes, Fargo is coming back. They're working on the fourth season right now. And this is kind of a little bit of a crazy casting, but it stars Chris Rock. That's the only person that we know is in it. They're going to start filming it in late 2019. It should debut sometime in 2020. And this season is going to be set in the 1950s in Kansas City. That's all we know about it currently, but it was kind of a big surprise because everybody thought, well, three seasons, they have the three seasons of the anthology. They'll be done, but nope, they're coming back for more.
There you
I like
go,
that
Matt.
They always call the show and the movie Fargo, and yet very little of it actually takes place in Fargo. That's so funny.
Yeah, it's inspired by the tone of the movie more than anything.
Yeah.
And one of the fun things about it is the more you watch it and the more you really concentrate on it, you can see little Easter eggs and things that they've looped throughout. It's a great show if you've never checked it out.
All right, some questions. We go to the phone lines. Diana is on. Diana Alexander Zalbin.
Hello. My question is on The Village. Do you know anything about that, if it's coming back or not?
The Village?
Yes.
I don't know about that, actually. Let me look into that for you.
Diane, what is that? What is The Village?
It's like an apartment building in New York City, and everybody knows everybody, and it's all their stories and everything. And I got really into it.
Oh,
and
then, it's a comedy or drama?
Drama.
No,
drama?
It's a drama.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one that debuted in March, I believe, right? So it might be a little early to know about a pickup or a cancellation for that.
Okay.
The networks just announced their new schedule, but shows like that debut late in the year, sometimes they'll put off a decision until fall or winter. So hopefully, if it did well, it'll come back.
Thank you, Diana. And Dan has called us with his question. Alexander Zalbin, Dan, what's your question?
Yeah, hello. I had heard that For the People on ABC had been canceled, and I'd feel really bad about that because I thought the writing was excellent and the characters were well drawn. I'm just curious if you know anything about that.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of people who are really big fans of the show. It ran for two seasons on ABC. I think that's one that, this is just my two cents, unfortunately I do think it's probably done at this point, because it had a little bit more of the procedural elements than the serial elements, so I think they can look at it as, okay, we got through what we needed to get through, it wasn't quite working in the ratings, so we're done with that for the moment, but if you do want to check out the two seasons, they are streaming online, so as you said, I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised about the outpouring of fans for that show who are bummed to see it go. So if you do want to see more, the best thing to always do is just keep watching it on a loop online and see if the networks notice.
Thank you, Dan. And speaking of bringing shows back, The Kids Are All Right. I know I've mentioned this a lot. I'm bummed that ABC canceled it. But there have been articles aplenty, one just recently in Forbes, and fans are trying to save it. I have signed many petitions. What are the chances of things like that actually having ABC go, you know what, we changed our mind? Do things like that happen, or another network could swoop in?
You know, there are so many decisions that go into these sort of things, it makes it tricky to say. For something like Kids Are All Right, I believe it's actually produced by ABC, so which makes it a little bit tricky in terms of if you say had a show that was produced by CBS Studios, but on ABC, if they canceled it, CBS Studios might say, okay, we have a couple of other networks, other places we can shop it to see if it makes sure it sense with the budget. But if ABC owns the whole thing, they might say, it's done. And then it would be up to them letting the rights go to the executive producers, who would then be able to shop it around. So that's what makes that part a little tricky there. You know, you could never say never, but it's always going to come down to how much does the show cost, are the actors still available, and does another network have the budget to actually pick it up? So lots of questions before they need to move forward with something else.
Alex, we only have a minute, but I'm curious about this. Ali Wong is an actress on Fresh Off the Boat, but she's got a burgeoning career in movies. They just renewed Fresh Off the Boat. She seemed upset about it because she wanted to, you know, go more into films than television.
Shame on her.
I know. Are they going to replace her on the show, or what are they going to do?
Well, actually, just a little correction. That was Constance Wu.
Oh, Constance
Wu.
Who
is on Fresh. Constance Wu. Right. Ali Wong, also very awesome. She's in a movie called Always Be My Baby that's going to be on Netflix later this month, which is great. Constance Wu, not going to be replaced. There was a flap. She was upset about stuff. Tried to dial it back a bunch of times. It didn't quite work. But I think ultimately she's important to that show. That show is important to people. They're certainly all seemingly front-facing on the same page with it. So I don't think she's going anyplace anytime soon, whether behind the scenes she would like that or not.
But if you're the producer of the show and you hear her come out and say,
bye-bye.
I don't want to, yeah, do you still want to keep her around? Is she bad for morale, or what do you think?
Or for viewers, are people going to be irritated by that?
I mean, I think you have a serious talking to, right? You know,
yeah.
People sometimes, particularly when you're in a high-pressure environment like a TV show, you get exhausted, you get tired, you lash out about things, and it comes down to how you have that conversation. And frankly, I don't know anything about the behind the scenes, but if they sat down with her and said, listen, do you really want to be let go of this contract? We'll figure it out if it's best for everybody. Then they'd figure that out. But as is, I'd imagine they can't figure that out. They do need to keep her on board to the show. And they said, listen, you just got to get on board. You got to be positive about it. We'll get through the season. We'll see what happens.
Alex, have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you a week from today, okay?
All right. You too. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
That's Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com.
And we're going to take a break. Is that cool?
Let's take a break.
And then we're going to find out about some options to grill for this Memorial Day weekend. Bill, I have just found out it's going to rain the entire weekend.
I know. I just saw that, too.
Also, yeah. I wanted to tell you, we talked about pools and how, you know, if you smell a chlorine smell, it's actually the chlorine reacting to some of the accidents that could have happened. And I just want to tell you something else as we're going into this Memorial Day weekend. Swimming pools contain up to 3 ounces of number one per person.
Excellent.
According to a doctor.
That's great news.
Don't open your mouth.
No. No.